Chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, as we begin a new chapter in our study of the pastoral epistle, 1 Timothy, Paul writing to young Timothy. And tonight we're going to be talking about this subject, the church dangers, church dangers. And we live in dangerous times, no question about it. And Paul has already, in the text, told Timothy that there are false teachers out there, and that with these false teachers and all the ungodly and vain teachings that they have been part of, he's kind of given us a prelude to that in chapter 1. And so with his letter, he hits it, then he gets away from it for a little while, and now he comes back in, I would say, full force to really expose what these false teachers are doing. In other words, he just gives us an introduction to them earlier, but now he wants to reveal to us their true colors, wants to give us their stripe, if you will, and who they belong to and who's what forces behind it and all of that. So, church dangers tonight. And let's look at you, if you would, together at chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Can you imagine that? You go to the store, and you go to the... gentlemen, would you go back on the slide to the very first one, please? Don't bring that one up yet. But you go back to the Outback Steakhouse, and you can't eat it because your preacher won't let you. That'd be a terrible thing if you went to Old Charlie's. Oh, I see what you're doing. You've got that as a... Okay. They'll get the slides right here in a minute. But anyhow, I appreciate their help back there. But they're having here in a situation where you have these doctrines and these things that are being taught that are not in God's Word. And so what happens here, he says, here's what they're preaching. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. If we, following God, are conducting the church in the right way, if we want the Holy Spirit to take the reins of our church, then there's a few things that are going to happen. You may say, boy, the Lord is blessing our church. Boy, you can just sense the Spirit Sunday. It was good. And when you start thinking of God is really now taking the reins of this thing and something special is happening, there are other realities that you'll need to wake up to besides the ones we all smile and praise God over. What are the realities of a church that's following the Spirit? You'll find things like this. Real colors come out. Real colors will come out. When God the Holy Ghost starts working in a church, the real colors come out. People quit faking it, and the real them is revealed. Something else that happens, true friends rise to the top. When you're in the battle, God the Holy Spirit will send people along your way, and they'll encourage you.
Yes, sir.
They sure will. Do you know that just today I received two phone calls from men that I really regard and look up to, and what an encouragement. I never got to speak to them, only received their message. But what an encouragement that was to me. And I'm going to tell you, when you're in the battle, you're going to find God comes along and He'll give you words of encouragement. And I say this, true friends are revealed in times when the church is really going through the battle. True friends, they'll rise to the top. Something else that happens when the church is conducting it along the Spirit. In other words, when we stop playing church and God the Holy Ghost really begins to work, demonic activity will intensify. Better put your suit of armor on. Better batten down the hatches. Anytime God begins to bless a work, and I preached on this Sunday morning, but anytime God blesses a church, you have to battle to see the blessing. The intensity of demonic activity will truly be a part of it. And it might express itself through persecution, outside and inside. Another thing that happens, people get right with God. I mean, we quit playing church because we get honest with God. When the Holy Spirit takes the reins of a church and really begins to do a true work in that church, people will get right with God. They really will. But on the flip side of that, the backsliders just get worse. They just get worse. And that intensifies. So when God does church, when Jesus comes to church, when really we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, real colors, true friends, demonic activity intensifies, people get right with God, backsliders just get worse. These are oftentimes the signs of a church life that will be real and truly operating as God the Holy Spirit works. We get in our mind that it's just the offerings go up and the attendance goes up. I hope that's true, but that's not the true picture. Many times it's battling, it's standing, it's acknowledging, it's fighting, not amongst each other, but I'm talking about against the forces of hell. You have all of these things happening. Why? When God blesses and guides the church, it's most imperative that every one of us become more guarded over our spirits. Become more guarded over our spirits and more engaged in praying. So if we want to see God bless, we better be more guarded over our own spirit. Because you're going to be attacked. You just have to be on guard. But you have to be doing more praying too. That's the only way we can prepare ourselves. Because when the Holy Spirit guides the church, the kingdom of God is advancing. And when the kingdom of God advances, you know what the enemy does? He moves his troops. Would you bring that picture up again from Fox News? I heard this today. You see a picture there where our Marines are right now training in the mountains of Central California. So that we understand, because we're most accustomed and our focus have been on now for the last 10, 15 years, battles and warfare in the Middle East. But now we're trying to get our men ready because of the possibilities of that in Russia, China, and North Korea. That was in our news today. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, that's what wise generals do. If they know there's some intensity, the possibilities. They began moving now the troops and getting them ready for what could be. And I don't want this to be a scare tactic. I want this to be a reality check for the Church of the Living God. That when we begin to advance, when we begin to take on missionaries and we begin to grow in our missions and grow in our evangelism, when our church starts seeing people saved, the enemy is going to do the very same thing. He's going to move his troops. He's going to move his forces to be more focused on this place than maybe he has before. Now, that's not a pat on the back. Oh, aren't we good? Aren't we strong? That's a reality check saying to you, guard your spirit. Get on and stay on your knees. Because if this church ever advances, it'll only advance while we're on our knees. That's how the army of God has always advanced. They march on their knees in prayer to a God in heaven who will move and work for us. And so just a reality of all of this, I say to you, as we come now to chapter 4, this is what's happening. There are church dangers that we've got to be prepared for. And I want to talk about it. Point number one, we have what we call the future of the church. The future of the church. So what am I saying by the future of the church? The Spirit of God here in this text is going to say, here's what you're going to be up against. This is what's in front of you. Now, I believe it's here and now. We're living in the last days. This is not something that only is going to happen just before Christ comes. I believe it started when Jesus Christ ascended and the church age was ushered in and God began to move upon these men. When they spoke of the last days, they were speaking of their day, the church age. And so will it intensify until Christ comes again? Yes, it will get worse and worse, and we're living in the worst of times when it comes to the last days. But the church must know. The church must know this. So that's what he says in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now that word expressly means very clearly, means unmistakably. The church is to, almost in an explicit way, understand what the Spirit of God is saying. So what is it he so clearly wants us to get? Here it is. That in the latter times, in these days in which you are living, some shall depart from the faith. And why are they departing? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here's the future of the church. It's going to be attacked. There are dangers lurking to the church, and Satan's going to send them. He's going to, infiltrate his agenda through false teachers, and the future of the church is we're going to have to battle. We're going to have to understand what's in front of us. The church must be aware of the potential dangers. It's just like if a flu epidemic broke out in Cleveland, people are going to have to take extra measures. Was it not too long ago I said no shaking hands here tonight? If you will, just kind of maybe bump elbows or nod and do what they do in Asia, you know, whatever, to acknowledge one another, but don't shake hands. Why? We were being conscious of bacteria or germs that we didn't need to share one with another because of the times of the epidemics that were in our flu season, right? And there are bacteria and harmful germs, so we use hand sanitizer. I have some hand sanitizer right here. Here we go. Let me grab it. This is our object lesson tonight. Here it is. I've got some hand sanitizer that I keep. It's called Germ-X, right? And I keep this handy because I don't want to catch what you've been blessed with. Amen? I don't want that to continue. So we use this to protect ourselves, right? Well, that's what this is doing. It's Germ-X. The Word of God says, look, there's bacteria, there's harmful germs spiritually, and we need to get this up for our guard. Get this out so we're protected. If we just show up at church and think it's a time for entertainment and feel-good moments, and we're not really serious about suiting up and doing the will of God, then we're going to be subject to these things. I've seen other lands where they'll actually put these masks on, you know, like they wear when someone does surgery or a man is working around dusk, he'll wear these masks. A lot of people are doing that in other countries to keep from catching all these viruses that are going around. Well, this is our mask. This is our protector. And he says the Spirit of God is trying to help you understand and see that there are these seducing spirits out there. And we're in those days. So that is the future of our church. But number two, I want you to notice with me the force against the church. The forces against our church. What are they? Well, the forces are basically this. Opposing doctrine that is fueled or inspired by Satan himself through the instrumentation of men who call themselves teachers. Now, let me say that again. It's the power of Satan himself that is the force behind the teachings through men who call themselves teachers. You see, he tells us there's seducing spirits and there's doctrine of devils. Now, seducing spirits, think about that. That means a demonic intensity or an influence that's seducing. You know, we need to understand that when we think of the devil or seducing spirits, it's not just some eerie feeling that makes the door shut in a dark room and you get all scared. The forces of evil are not about scaring you with their demonstrations. Sometimes teenagers can get intrigued and they start getting into witchcraft because they think it's kind of cool and they don't know how dangerous that is. Very dangerous. But what Satan is really after is not scaring people. In fact, he wants to do the very opposite. He wants them very comfortable. He doesn't want to do anything to alarm you. He wants you to feel very invited. It's welcome. I'm glad to see you. You belong here. And with a devious smile, he wants you to come right on in with his doctrine that is full of heresy. And he's going to use what we call heretics and false teachers. And these heretics and false teachers are inspired by Satan. So inspired are they that they do their work through hypocritical lies. Notice what the Bible says. It says, verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Now put that together. I've noticed this on certain news channels. They're real good at it at themselves. On purpose, they lie knowing what they're doing. Now let me say that again. They have an agenda by twisting the truth, and the teachers themselves, they may be deceived, but they know what they're saying, and they know what they're doing, and they speak the lie hypocritically, which means they know when they're lying, and it doesn't bother them. Now look, if I lie to somebody, I know what I'm doing. I have an agenda to get them to do something I want them to do, and so I lie to get them to do it. And then what's supposed to follow, especially for a child of God, is deep conviction. You weren't honest. You weren't right. You need to go make that right. You need to tell them you were lying. And you trust the Holy Spirit of God does that for every child of God who may fall to the temptation to lie. Sometimes it's tempting to lie. You have an authority, a boss looking at you, wanting to know, did you do this? You know it might cost you a job, and so you kind of beat around the bush and give another story. Not as a child of God. You can't bring yourself to that low level. You don't want to be like your father, the devil, who is the father of lies. And by the way, where there is habitual lying in a person or a young person, there is real activity of the enemy. If you know somebody who's an habitual liar, be very careful being around them because they're showing signs that they're very much influenced by demonic activity. I'll be honest with you. We think, oh, they lie because that's just what little kids do. Be careful with that thought. Lying is something that the devil is truly behind. And I know kids will lie because they are of their old nature. And I'm not trying to speak something spooky in that sense. But I have been around people and I've tried to help people that they can't help from lying. It just comes out of their mouth and they get caught up in a lie and next thing you know they got to cover that one and they got to cover that one and their story just grows because it's all cover up. That is real signs of the enemy's activity. Be real careful with that and pray against that. So you don't want any part in that. But here's what the false teachers do. They lie, they know it. And they justify it in their own minds knowing they're leading people astray because of the agenda that they have. And so they can do it with what they think is a clear conscience. But it's not a clear conscience. If it was a clear conscience, they would admit to it and make it right.
but it's a seared conscience, which means it's so calloused, they don't care if it's a lie, they just want their way to get the agenda across. And when they have such a disposition like that, I'm going to tell you, that's fueled by the devil. Amen. Their conscience is seared. What a sad day to be able to lie and not even bother you. It's a sad day. It's because their conscience has been seared. Seared how? By a hot iron. That's a word picture to tell you that when something has been burnt, when something of the skin has been branded, you go back later after the healing, there's no more feeling there. It's been seared. It's been calloused. And so that's how the devil works it. It's a force. It's a force there. What is he after? He's after people to abandon the faith. To abandon the faith. And let's read about it here. Verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, that's speaking of the false teachers, forbidding to marry, this is what they teach, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So we're going to get into that just in a moment, but notice here what the devil is after. Verse 1, go back if you would please. Some shall depart from the faith. Now, a lot of people have looked at this and said, okay, who are these that are departing from the faith? This is what we call apostasy. In fact, the word depart in the English is, in the Greek form, apostasy. Or vice versa, the Greek word is that, apostasy. And it basically means that they have left their position. They have fallen prey to the false teachers and they have abandoned. They've left an original position. Now watch this. It's not saying they have left their eternal salvation. Does it mean they've left the grace of God? They have left a state of spiritual being. It says they've left the faith. In other words, they once held a position, maybe in church, around teaching, maybe at one time was a student of reading the Word, understanding what was being taught in the synagogues. Maybe at one time they were a proponent of it. Maybe thought this is neat and it's wonderful. But at some point, they apostatized from that position. So it's not a loss of eternal life. It's a movement from position to indicate to us that they probably weren't really saved to begin with. Now that's my position on apostasy. I believe it's people who are given the truth, who know the truth, but not truly saved. Do you think people are capable of that? Sure are. Ask Jesus regarding one of his faithful subjects called Judas. He heard the truth constantly, saw the truth in person. But he wasn't one of them. He wasn't converted. The devil hath filled his heart. Let me give you some scripture on this. Go to 1 John chapter 2. This is probably one of the clearest pictures of a true apostate. It's 1 John chapter 2. And by the way, 1 John, the book of John, is battling the same doctrine that Peter, or actually Paul, is writing about here to Timothy. And what is that? That terrible teaching and philosophy of what we call the Gnostics, or Gnosticism. We'll get into that in a moment. But in 1 John, again, John's battling the same stuff. But if you notice 1 John chapter 2, look if you would at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You see the clarity of that? They apostatized simply this truth, this reason. You can say, the devil was in it.
There was false teachers that influenced them. They just got caught up in all kinds of crazy beliefs and systems of religion. And we can say, oh, if it wasn't for that big crowd, they just got caught up in the frenzy of following the trends and crowds of the day. Yes, but there's one fundamental reason why they left. Because they weren't truly of us. They weren't truly born of the Spirit of God. And that's what I believe with all my heart. We have to understand that those who apostatize, those who leave a position, they may be in it for a little while and they feel good about it. They think, man, this is great. I think I'll get in on this. And then all of a sudden, through other influences, they just about face. They no longer are interested. What is that a sign of? That in their heart, they weren't truly converted. Now, Jesus told us about this in the parable of the sower. He said there is good seed, and there's a great farmer, and there's land to till and cultivate. And he says some of these seeds, they fall on stony ground, thorn, worn path. They fall in these different categories. And then there's some seed that fall in good soil. And those take root. But he warned us that there would be some seed that would fall and that the fowls of the air would come down and swoop and take the seed, lest it get rooted. And he told us that those fowls were demonic or devils. And I believe with all of my heart that's what we have right here. That you have people who are interested, but they don't get plugged in. They don't get their roots down. Why? The devil and all of his work and deception comes along and takes the word before it takes root. You see, this is serious, serious stuff. We make salvation and the work of the church and what the Holy Spirit does just a matter of fill out a card and say amen. I'm going to tell you, this is when somebody gets saved, it's miraculous. It's of God. It's the devil lost in Calvary, and the power of the blood has won. It's a wonderful thing. But you're going to have to battle to get there. I don't ever make salvation hard, but at the same time, I never take away from the fact that it's a miracle, a great miracle. Look at Jude 24. Would you turn there? Jude, the book of Jude, verse 24. The Bible says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." It is God that keeps us from falling. I'm so grateful to know that. Jesus warned us about tares among the wheat. You remember that, do you not? They look just like wheat, but they're not wheat. They like to hang out. They like to look and sound genuine. But when the harvest time comes, there's only one that meets the test. And that is wheat, not wheat. The tares. So the devil is out to get those to depart from the faith. And in this particular text, I believe it's true apostasy, that those who leave simply because they weren't of the Lord. They depart from the faith, not necessarily depart from real and true salvation. I don't think that's possible. I think if you're born of the Spirit, you're God's eternally for all time. No changing that. No changing that. The devil cannot touch your soul. He cannot steal away from you salvation. You are God's and His forever. Whom the Father giveth me, I will in no wise cast out. And no man is able to pluck him from my Father's hand. There's no plug. You say, what about the fowls of the air? They can't pluck you if you're in the Father's hand. And that's true salvation. What I'm after is getting people truly saved. And I can't do it. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do is preach the book and let the Word of God do its job so that folks can come to Christ. So let's talk about this for just a few moments we have left. These demonic spirits, what are they doing? They're always leading people away from the truth. Sunday school teacher, that's why you're so important. You get people back to the plumb line of what God says. You get them back to the truth. And so many of you missionaries, that's what you're doing. You're giving people the truth because truth is what sets them free. The devil wants to guide them away from the truth. You're taking them to the truth. Christians
Stay in your Bibles. The devil wants nothing more than to lead you away from your Bible. Why? Because if you get away from your Bible, now you've got a paved way for deception. The more Bible I have in me, the more I know what is counterfeit and what's real. If you've got the genuine article, then you can spot the counterfeit. And my mind needs constantly be in this book, God feeding me the real thing, so that when the fake comes around, they can't smile and talk about the love of God and take me off course, because I know a counterfeit when I see one. You know how you deal with the devil? You resist him. You don't invite him. You don't say, well, sit down and let me talk about this for a little bit. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. There have been people I have met and I have resisted them. I sense an evil spirit about them and I resist them. There's probably another evil people that's come along in my life that I haven't resisted. And I should have. Should have taken a stand when I needed to. But I've learned in my life that when you sense this, take your stand. Because if you don't, you might have a mess on your hands, because it's all about deception. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 1, let's just read this, and I want you to understand this. And I think this can help a lot of us here tonight. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Stop right there. There are going to be times you're going to receive impressions or thoughts, notions you might equate with the Holy Spirit. It's okay to do that. I've heard my wife say, I think the Lord told me to do this. I'm going to make a phone call right now. Well, go ahead, honey, call them. It's okay. If the Lord impresses something upon you, it's okay to listen for that and to respond to that. You're God's child. He's going to use you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to guide you. Then He's going to convict you. The same Spirit that you talk of following, He's also going to show you red flags and say, don't you touch that. Don't you go there. The Holy Spirit's real, friend. It's not just something we talk about in some theological volume. The Holy Spirit's real. And it's upon you to know how to respond to Him, how to treat Him. You can't hurt Him. You can't offend Him. You can grieve Him. He's a person just like I am. I can get with you tonight and we'll go to Burger King, get us some French fries, have us a good time, and all of a sudden you start talking about my wife. You're going to offend me. You may say, preacher, I'm just telling you the truth. I don't care. You're still going to offend me. I'm offendable. And if we have a wrong spirit toward somebody that we love, if we have a wrong spirit toward a person we're talking to, we can offend somebody. Why? Because they're people, man. They're real. They got blood flowing through them. Their heart's beating. They're real people. Holy Ghost is real. You can offend Him. You can hurt Him tonight. Or you can say, I love you, Holy Spirit. I need you. So He's active. And the Bible is teaching you something, that when He speaks, when He guides, when He moves, when He makes His work in your life, your job is to try the Spirit. Because it may not always be the Holy Spirit. You may put a tag on it and talk religious about it, but it may not be the Holy Spirit. So your job is to try the Spirit. Believe not every spirit. Be careful, friend. But you put it to a test. He says, try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know what that is often also teaching us? That when somebody gets up here and speaks on the behalf of this book and the Holy Spirit, you put them through this litmus test. You put them through the format of real testing when someone preaches. Don't swallow it because they can speak real good and make you feel fuzzy. You put it to the test. Is Pastor Gamble given the truth? Is he preaching this book? That's how you try the spirits. hold me to it. If I preach something that doesn't sit with your spirit and it seems to go against God's word, don't go home and simmer on that and get on Facebook. Come and see me. I want nothing more than to be true to this book. And I want to be true to those that I preach to. And if for any moment you think he's just pushing an agenda, come and see me. I want to know, do I measure up to this book or not? I have no problem with that. No problem at all. And so, dear friend, the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now what's happening here? What I'm reading to you, this is simply how it works. What I'm reading to you, the Bible is confirming the right kind of spirit. The Bible is telling us that Jesus is God. And every man who comes along and says, he is God in the flesh, now ascended to heaven. When you hear that, because you have the Word, you're able to test whether or not this man is true. We use the Bible to test a man whether or not he's true in his preaching and foretelling. So how do you try the Spirit? Measure it to this blessed book. I like being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, especially when I'm preaching. Sometimes in my home, in my car, and where I go and what I do, I'm not always sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and shame on me. But I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I really do. Again, I have good days and bad days, don't you? But I got to make sure every impression I think is the Holy Spirit is measured by this book. This is the standard, not how I feel right here. Okay? Now, whereas I may not have the standard, now watch this, it's very important. The only thing I got now is what I remember taught, what I have memorized from that book that I have to measure it by. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I don't have the book, I still have to go on the foundation and the teachings of this book to make sure I'm right. I never waltz off on my own and just go with my feelers. Because my feelers are not sanctified. My feelers are flesh. My feelers are made up of good old Dave Gamble that my mom and dad had to put up with for many, many years. If I go on those feelings, they're not always going to be sanctified. But I want to tell you something. It's always sanctified when it's by this book. You can't go wrong. Isn't it wonderful God's given us the book of God? It's always so good. And I have found this to be true, that when I'm up against the test, when the pressure's on, I've had the Holy Spirit to guide me when I didn't have this book. But I've never had the Holy Spirit to guide me in something that contradicted this book. Is all this making sense to you? I hope so. Because what I'm saying is, this is the truth. And every spirit that comes along, I've got to guide it by the truth. And whereas I may not even have access to the truth, it will never contradict this truth. You know, you might do something later on and find out, you know, Brother, God was in that. I didn't know God was in it, but he truly was in it. Because later on you found out it was right according to this book. Nothing wrong with that. I've talked to people who've said they didn't have access to God's Word, yet the Holy Spirit guided them. I have no problem with that. None at all. But I do have a problem if they say, he led me, that contradicts this book. Then I would say, something else led you. Because it wasn't of the Lord. This always becomes the high and holy standard. That's why we believe in the preserved, inspired, listen, verbal plenary Word of God. If you want to criticize this, now we're all in a mess. If this is not right, then we have no hope. We have nothing. Bob, this book has stood the test of time. And it is the Word of God. And I thank God we have His record. And so thank God for that. So there we have it. The forces against the church. You must try the spirits. Next week we'll get into other things along this line. Not only the future of the church, the forces of the church. We're going to talk about some other things. Would you bring them up, please? We're going to talk about these next two. The falsehoods that are in the church. The actual teachings, by the way, of yeah, you shouldn't marry. That's that teaching of celibacy. And abstain from meats. There are people who believe because of vegetarian, they're a little more spiritual. I would beg to differ. I think you're guarded more by the Holy Spirit if you don't rely on a diet. I'd rather rely on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so we're going to talk about that. And if you are vegetarian, God bless your heart, you're missing out. And because my Lord has blessed those good old juicy steaks, amen. Then we're going to look at the faith for the church. The faith for the church. God has given us a wonderful faith. The faith, the wonderful teaching of God's Word that gets us through. Let's pray. Lord in heaven,